Welcome to the Best Self Podcast. Today, we have got a rock star. You're looking at her, Greta Kessa. She's showing off early and often. She's got the yellow rocking. Already nicknamed her the Yellow Mamba. And I mean, happiness coach, leadership coach, a rock star for one of my favorite companies in the entire world, Mindvalley. Naturally, she's heavy into the customer service end, and which also means she's all about people potential, all about people. I'm crazy about what you do, little lady. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me, Brett.
Absolutely. So, man, there's so many good nuggets about you. I think I could talk to you for hours on end and just scratch the surface. You're prominent on social media and LinkedIn, and everything that you say is gold. I do love the happiness end of it. So, I mean, do you feel like we could can you put a price on being happy? I mean,
wow, I love it.
I mean, I feel like happiness is priceless.
Indeed. Unless maybe you can put a price on happier.
Okay. Oh, now I see you working.
We all are happy in our own terms, right? Mm-hmm. The question is, do we want to make it happier year? Do we want to feel happier every day? And I think this is where we start, because I think at first I was thinking, oh, okay, maybe I'm supporting people to feel happy. But then it kind of projects that they are not.
Right.
And I think we are all happy. We just need to rediscover that.
I love it. Wow, that's good. So your business, you're really into me. That's what you do. You're trying to put a smile on people's faces and just help them out improve their previous best self. That's kind of what you do for a living.
Indeed.
In that, do you feel that, I guess, you know, I find that a lot of people have a hard time kind of transitioning, have a hard time finding their why. You know, and then they have a hard time. If you don't know your why, it's really hard to have an emotional connection. And if you don't have an emotional connection, it's got to be hard to be happy. How does someone find their why?
I think it's literally by doing or by practicing. Mm. What I found for me, it was doing things that I love, stopping for a moment, observing, tracking certain trends, you know, what's similar, and understanding why I'm getting so much energy from that. Why am I in flow? Why am I smiling when I'm doing this? And then all of that actually, you know, went into the making an impact, you know,
right,
helping people, supporting everyone around me. And I think this literally can be done. Just do whatever you love doing, observe the trends, write it down, and this can be so close to your why, like so close.
Right. Hmm. You've had a cool journey, and really fast, by the way. You must be doing well, because you just keep hiking up the ladder, sister. What was there a pivotal moment for you? Was there like a moment where you found your why? Like, can you, is there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there was. I'm thinking back in the days when I joined a student organization called ISEC. In Lithuania.
Okay.
It's actually a global organization, very big.
Gotcha.
And I started there, I don't know, just doing whatever that we were doing, and we wanted to change the world. You know, we all are 20 years old and we just think that we can. And
yeah,
that time I felt this way. And, you know, I was just having this passion to work with people, and we had little trainings in local comedy, and I started, you know, giving those trainings, and I realized, oh my God, I love speaking, you know, I love speaking to people. And more than ever, I like seeing their aha moments or their journey when they join the session, being maybe a bit confused, and they end the session with aha moment and this like, oh, so I can do this way. And then this is how it happened, because I started taking more and more opportunities like that of working with people, you know, holding spaces, facilitating workshops. And this is how I found it. And at first I was very, well, I would say special and not good leader, but every experience still in that organization taught me what works with people, what doesn't, because we were not paid There was no, you know, bonuses or anything or trips you can give to people. And just by trying that, doing, and I didn't know what coaching is at that time, but right. I think I was doing partially coaching, because when you're curious, you're asking questions, you believe that they can figure everything out themselves. Right. And I think that was the tipping moment, this organization where I could play in an adult world, being safe, and actually discovered that.
Right. Oh, that is great. That is awesome. You always wear yellow. You are a yellow kind of gal. Love it. What can you explain to us? Like you've got like your whole thing is yellow. Like you attach your identity to yellow in term. Can you kind of, yeah, there you go, sister. She's got the phone. She's crushing it all. She's got the earrings, killing it. Please quit showing off, Greta.
Okay, I can keep going.
Yeah, there you go. She's a beast. Yeah, you attached optimism and faith and everything. Can you kind of go into your whole yellow mantra? Can you talk to us about that?
Indeed. I don't remember at first how I was expressing it or not, but I always liked the color. You know, when people say, what's your favorite color? Mine would be always yellow. Mm-hmm. And I had this understanding that, oh, it's so good if your favorite color is red or black, then you can wear it because it's usual. People right. do that. And then when I was participating in one public speaking contest in Europe with Toastmasters, I was talking about, my speech was about, is it normal to be normal? And all the stand and stereotypes that people put on us. And I remember somebody told me, you should have something like weird or unusual on you. Maybe pink sneakers or something, you know, with this suit up attitude. And I went to the shop and I found those yellow sneakers. Mm-hmm. And then I thought to myself, why not yellow sneakers?
Right.
Like, why not? If I like it, like, even though it's not normal, what's normal for you might not be normal for me, you know? Yep. Who decides that?
Yep.
And when I bought those yellow sneakers, I think in 2017 or 16, that was the hit. I started feeling, okay, so look, I like this color. I can fill my life and world and environment with that. Yeah. And this is, it's like my, I don't know, talisman. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, look, maybe I'm feeling down. Maybe I'm feeling sleepy. Let me get something yellow. And I think that is the moment where it just shifted. And if that works for me, I was like, why not?
I love it. I love everything about that story. I love that you, it started with you wanting to be not typical or abnormal.
Just
be you. Love it. I mean, I could tie an entire episode just into those concepts about your best being good enough and just being you and being abnormally awesome or tapping into the ridiculousness that you are. I mean, that's awesome. That's really good stuff. That is such a life lesson for everybody so that they can find their own lane. You don't have to be in someone else's movie. You can create your own slot, right?
Definitely. And I've heard of this concept called unapologetically you.
Mm. Yeah.
That you own, it doesn't mean that you are a bad person, right? And you're going around and doing some crimes. It's more about like your personality and the way you see the world and the way you want to express yourself, you know, because if we worry constantly how to fit in and how to please everyone else, I think we're gonna live pretty miserable life. And I don't want that for people and myself.
No, that is so cool. So do you have so everyone's out there listening right now and they're saying to themselves, man, I wanna be yellow. I want a yellow heart. I want that concept. Do you have like an action plan? Is there a way you would suggest people like moving forward? Like, this is how you can be yellow. This is how you can live this lifestyle. This is how you can be heart-centered or be your best self. Is there an action plan for that?
I think there is. Actually, it's in my programs. But like one thing I would really think everyone can do is to pause a little bit, look around, and count their blessings, count their gratitude or their happy moments.
Yes.
I believe in gratitude so much, but I also believe in noticing literally happy moments, looking back at the day that just passed and saying, what made me feel something pleasant? Even the tiniest things, and writing it down and then doing it for at least a week, because this is how you start understanding your happiness, right? Because we have so many rules written by society. What should happy mean? That success equals happy? I don't think so. So it should be our own way. And I think while noticing, being aware, and not rushing in this vicious cycle of busy, hustle,
yeah,
this is how you find that peace.
Right. You don't have to feel like you're in a dryer.
Yeah, that would be harsh.
Wow. So do you think happiness is a choice?
Oh, you said it and I got feelings all over my body. Yes, it's my favorite sentence, I think. Mm. I do believe strongly happiness is a choice. Definitely.
Awesome. Do you think gratitude's a choice?
Oh, of course. It's action, you know?
Yeah.
People think that these words are nouns. I think they're verbs, same as love.
Mm-hmm.
We think it happens, but with every action, with every interaction, we choose it. Yeah. And you know, whatever happens in the world, probably we can't change it, but we always are responsible for our own real action and our own actions. And I think that's a pure choice.
Awesome. That is so good. I start thinking about this and I start thinking about character traits. I think character traits are like muscles. You know, the more you use them, the stronger they get. Are there any character traits that you're just in love with? I mean, anywhere from, could be anything like, I believe listening is a character trait, or integrity, or is there one or two that you really tie your identity to and you feel like this has really helped you get to where you're at right now?
Oh, I think yes. the first one that you asked, because I was like, what is it? It's resilience.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, things can happen. Right. And you know, life can throw you under the bus or somewhere.
Oh, for sure.
But like, you stand up, you learn a lesson, and you move forward. Or you stand up, you learn the lesson, and you go into a bit different lane, right? But you keep going because life doesn't stop there. So I think resilience is one of the keys. And especially if you do it with the optimism, I don't say you should be always positive, right? And fake it and say, oh yeah, my life is only unicorns and rainbows. But optimism, this faith for the future that it's going to be brighter, it's going to be better. You know, I trust my life. I trust the universe or whatever you believe in.
Right.
I think optimism is the key. And if you merge two, right, optimism and resilience, I think pretty cool things can happen.
Strong. Yes. Strong. Absolutely. So with resilience, do you believe that you believe there's friction in there, right? Within resilience? Do you believe friction is optional in life? Or do you believe friction's like a prerequisite to success?
Well, I think friction is also kind of reaction.
Okay.
Because, for example, what happened to me today, you know? I was changing my laptop in this little working station from my husband's laptop, and I needed to put something in the charger, it didn't work, and I said a curse word, and I was like, damn it! I could have a choice in even this simplest situation to be like, oh, look, it's a bit of the challenge. Let me try in other way. Right. Think about that. Like in this simplest situation, would my emotional state be different? I think it would.
Yeah.
So every time with a charger or with life, I think we do have this choice of what kind of energy we immerse. So the same is the friction. This is how I see it. And I think it's possible to reach that flow. A lot of people say no pain, no gain. I think there's more to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So good. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like just understanding what resilience means, because a lot of people, they might not look at resilience the same way if they're not on the success road. That's not a destination, right? I mean, success isn't the end of the road. It is the road. And resilience has to be a part of that, which means that, resilience isn't a straight line, right? Like the success road isn't a straight line. It's wavy and has resilience. And I guess that's where I was going with that question is, I guess people have to understand what resilience is, that it's, yeah. So cool beans. So I'm a big culture guy. I would imagine you're into people, so I'd imagine you're a pretty big culture Chiquita. That's your part of your juice, I'd imagine. Where
Definitely.
does a person start in, 'cause you work with teams, you work with individuals, you have courses. Where do you suggest a person start with culture? Because they're just like they're trying to with team. So you're trying to create culture within your team. Where does that even start? What does that look like?
Do we
Sorry,
have 3 hours?
loaded question, right?
Yes. It's okay. It's okay. We can do it. I think it really starts with you stepping up in the space. Let's say you as a leader, how I work with leaders as well, right? And I share a lot of that on LinkedIn. Stepping in space with open mind, being real you, this authenticity and vulnerability. Because I do believe that culture, not artificial one, but real culture is being built when there is trust and people enjoy working on challenges together, right? And then a lot of leaders want team to open up, to always give feedback, to just, give themselves fully while they're standing and watching. Okay, so be open. But I think the key is you show up first, you lead by example, and you show how much you care and how important the team is for you. Because we can create the lists of strategies, how to build the culture, have team building, have this amazing meeting, have this, have that. But I think it's so much about interpersonal relations, relationships, I'm sorry, and how you come into the team and what are you bringing as a person. I
Yeah,
think this is
absolutely.
first key.
Absolutely. We talked about how relationships are the true power grid. If you're not into relationships, you're probably not into leadership either, or effective leadership, because relationships, that to me is, that's my favorite part of everything I do. I tell people that relationships are my juice. I feel like it's got to be an emotional investment for you to be successful at whatever you're doing, right?
A
So,
lot.
yeah.
Sometimes a lot. But optimism, resilience, and you move forward.
Yeah, amen. So, how does someone stay on track? They're creating a culture they desire. People are digging it. You see this happen a lot. Like people, there'll be a change in management. And early on, people will be loving it and vibes good and everything's going good. But then, X amount of months or X amount of years starts to fade. How do, for some, how would you suggest if there's, a leader in there watching right now, a CEO, a founder, or maybe it's a teacher or a coach, how do they keep that rocking? Like they've got it rocking, they've got it rolling, everything's cool. But how do they keep trending up as opposed to just trying to maintain and getting burnt out on that?
First thing
I'm
is to
crushing it
come.
here today. I'm crushing, just crushing the yellow woman.
Yeah, I was like, so many thoughts. I want to say everything. Okay, let me try to structurally answer it. First and the most important thing, in my opinion, from experience I've had and observed, is constantly reminding the why, the purpose. We focus so much about what to do at work and how to do it. And I think how should completely be left to team members to figure that out so that they can grow. But I think the purpose of, not the purpose, but like the goal of the leader is to constantly remind people why they're doing what they're doing. What's the meaning behind that? Why it's crucial in the setting of the company or even the world? What problems are we solving? Because when we know, and especially I think this comes with, I don't know, past two generations or something, why what I do matters for the world, for organization, for the team. So that would be first thing to start keeping the culture. Second thing is, I think, providing feedback constantly, mm-hmm. both constructive and positive one, so that people are able to grow, so that they see there is place for me to be better, you know, to just grow from, but also it should be given from the place of love. Because third thing I would say, just care personally and show that not only their numbers matter, but they as people matter. And that's why I love this feedback concept, radical candor. It's amazing concept. And I read a lot about that. It's all about challenging directly and caring personally. So if I could just wrap it up, I would say this, use this radical candor and constantly remind the why to keep the culture, keep people going, and just keep being inspired yourself and inspire them.
Radical candor. That's good. I like
that. Amazing concept. I really recommend the book and to Google it. There are a lot of articles. I haven't created it, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it sounds good. Love it. I think not providing feedback to people is almost like stealing opportunities from them. You know, a lot of people are afraid to give feedback because they're afraid of hurting feelings and all that stuff. And I feel like you're almost stealing opportunities from people when you don't give them feedback. So
indeed.
Get after it. You go.
Small note that it's also not about leaders only or like, you know, managers of the team. I think it's about everyone, because I also met so many people and organizations that they start complaining about their managers, their leaders. Yeah. They never say it out loud. And I'm like, how can they change? How can they be better if you're not letting them know? It's impossible to require something from someone when they are not aware of that. So I think it's a loop.
Right. It's amazing how hard people work to maintain a weakness. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people work hard to maintain a weakness or maintain the operations they're currently in when they're miserable. Like, why wouldn't you say something? Why wouldn't you try to do something about it? Obviously things, I guess, could get worse, but you're not happy. And if you're happy, you're not passionate anymore. Do you have a chance to be great? You know, you were talking about why stick at good if you can be great earlier. There's no way you can go from good to great if you're not passionate and roll. It's like you're rolling out of bed just to be mediocre every day, Groundhog Day. So I would love to know your superpower, sister. What is your superpower? I mean, I've heard people talk about listening skills being their superpower. What is the Malaysian mama in yellow? What is her superpower?
I would say it's actually a lot of pressure in this question. Okay, I think my energy. My energy, I think, is my superpower.
Yes.
Because I'm doing my best to create it in the morning when I wake up, to maintain it through the day and spread it around. And I feel in whatever I do, I'm aiming to do it with passion or not do it at all. Unless it's a bit harder day, then I'm gentle with myself as well. But I think energy and doing a lot of things with passion, that what inspires myself a lot. And I see it usually inspires other people. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yes. What is your favorite superpower of others to work with? If you're getting to work with others and you could pick their superpower, what would that be?
I know, awareness.
Awareness. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's a great one. That's a fantastic one, because I read a stat one time where 85% of the world thinks that they are self-aware. But only, funny, right? But only 80% of those people are actually aware. So I think that's a great request, because I think that it is pretty rare. Not a lot of people are real with themselves, or, you know, whether it be socially aware or whatever. So that's a good one. I did not see that coming. You're just full of surprises over there, sister. All right. Okay, hey, we've got about 5 minutes, and then I'm kicking the Malaysian mama to the curb. Just setting back and sit. It looks a lot nicer, by the way, in Malaysia than it does where I'm at right now.
Well, it's always plus 30 all year round.
Plus 30. Well, mine's plus 30, but it still doesn't feel very good right now. Well,
It's a bit different.
that's true. Okay. It's okay.
Celsius versus Fahrenheit,
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm following you. All right. 95% of your clients, when they come to see you, struggle with blank. That's a tough question. I didn't prepare you for that one. You know, maybe it's awareness. I mean,
No. I'm just thinking how to put the sentence together in English.
okay.
I think 95% of clients that come to work with me, they don't truly believe they deserve to be happier. And this is this process of allowing yourself to actually feel happier for whatever makes you happy, not someone else. And defining your own happiness and your own success by your own terms. So I
Yes.
think this is the key.
Yes. That is so good. I can tell you, I get happy just talking to you right now. You've definitely got the it factor. But I would agree with you. I mean, man, you have some such great answers. You're slaying it over there. I would agree. I mean, the bulk of the people, that's not what I would have thought of. You've had some really good answers, and I agree wholeheartedly. I was just talking about this the other day, how all these people have dreams, but they don't stick with their dreams because they don't actually think they're attainable. Like they don't realize that they don't have to search for their purpose. Their purpose is already in them, or greatness is already within them. Like it's in them. They don't even need to go. It's not a hunt. It's already there. And they give up on it because they're not thinking abundantly, or they're not dreaming big, or they're living life small. When there's so much there for the taking, oh man, that's so good. Absolutely. I would agree. That was really good. So,
Away.
you're a co you're, I hear people, like, how do I phrase this? The person they're coworkers, but they're not a team. They're like, they're like roommates. They're not like a thing. You know what? There's so many people that walk around like zombies. They just go into their workplace and they never actually become a team. They're just sitting in front of a computer, or they're just a cubicle. I know there's got to be leaders on here right now that it can relate to that, where they want that culture that you're talking about. They want that happiness. They want that yellow environment. Do you have any ideas on how do we do that? How do we bridge the gap between just being a coworker and being a teammate? Do you have any ideas there?
I don't know if you expect this answer again, but I think first, maybe we need to ask people what they need and what they want. And some people are going to work just for those 8 or 7 hours, and then they have so much more meaning at home, for example, maybe raising family, maybe taking care of their parents, maybe taking care of the beautiful garden. And I think the first question leaders should ask instead of scratching their head and thinking, oh my God, how I make them a team? Do people want that? And this is the hardest thing because sometimes people don't want or even don't need it. So I think this awareness in the team would be the first step. And then understanding their main motivations or motivators to come to work and do your best not to demotivate people along the way. And then when they feel you care and you actually don't want to go according to one scenario that, for example, Greta said, or Simon Sinek said, or some famous leader said, but you care about them personally, I think then people will start turning it and saying, oh, wait, maybe you're not just the boss. Maybe there's something more. Maybe you're a human. And this is where relationships start.
Love it. What's your favorite kind of music there, girlfriend? Nice. All right. You go to a wedding reception. Are you more likely to be at the food table, at the table, Or are you crushing it on the dance floor, Greta?
I eat food. I love food. I would eat. Then, I go there. But no, I'm actually on the dance floor all the time. And the past few weddings of my friends, it lasted until 5 a.m. until they kicked us out. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not messing
That's.
around. Once you're on the floor, you're gonna have to drag you off. You're crushing it.
Actually, yes, they usually turn off music, then I go home, not
Yeah,
vice versa.
nice. Ain't no party like a Greta party. All right.
We need to throw one when
Yeah.
it's all over in the world, this, madness.
Right. Well, hey, we're coming to a close here, my friend. You have been amazing. I was so excited to have this conversation, but you are a good one. You're a keeper. So, we've got 30 to 45 seconds for you to talk to our listeners. How can they out improve their previous best self? 30 to 45 seconds.
Again, I don't know if you expect that, but I would say fell in love with the current version of yourself and treat it as your best friend. And while going this journey of becoming even better or happier, go along this journey, if hands held together and saying, I got you no matter what, because I already love your current version. Instead of doing it through the push or through, something negative. So basically, fell in love with where you are now and enhance it from the place of love.
Love it. So good. You are a good, beautiful soul, my friend. I appreciate everything you do. You are an absolute blessing to anyone who follows you. So keep up the great work and make it a great day.
Thank you, Brad. It was an honor to be here, and I want to say one thing that you are an amazing, amazing host. So thank you for having me here.
Thanks, Greta. Take care.